Hello. It's Rainstorm's Play. And started off this show today with another cracking tune that was Bruce's choice. That was Muse with their cover of Feeling Good.
Feeling good.
I should say, though, if you're listening in the usual way that we used to do this, you won't have heard any music at all. I'll just explain very quickly so that you know what's going on. So we're doing this podcast now with music. We can put it out on Mixcloud with a full song, which is great because they have the license to do that. It seems with Spotify, you can only hear the full song if you have a paid subscription. If you don't have a paid subscription, you get like 30 seconds of it, which is a bit crap. So we're also putting this out the old-fashioned way without any of the music. So you'll hear us talking about tunes, but you won't actually hear them.
Isn't that amazing, Mark? Because that's two for the price of one, isn't it? Two podcasts.
Yeah.
You've got the musical version. You've got the non-musical version. What other versions can we put out there?
The black and white version.
The black and white version. The less cranky Mark version. Because you were saying you're feeling a little bit cranky, weren't you, before we came on air?
I am feeling a bit cranky for no particular reason.
We should have the less cranky version and then the joyous version of Mark.
Well, maybe I'll pop like some kind of happy pill
towards
the end of the show and see what, you know. Not that I've got any happy pills.
We should start with your crankiness, but we will obviously deal with your crankiness. So it's not a rant then, it's just crankiness, is that right? And is it related to something?
I think I just didn't sleep very well last night, and I woke up today, you know, on the wrong side of the bed, so to speak, just feeling a bit like fucking hell.
Yes.
Can't be arsed with anything.
Yes.
And it's really cold in my apartment today for some reason, and that's kind of just adding to my general feeling of...
Yeah. Have you been watching the Terror?
No, but I saw that you were singing its praises.
Well, yeah, definitely
on Facebook.
Definitely watch it. But obviously, that when you watch that, you almost shiver because it's set obviously in the Arctic. And
all right, what's it about? What's the premise?
Premise is based upon a real story of the attempt by the Brits to find the Northwest Passage. I knew you'd do that. I knew you'd find.
I can't
something.
Help it. I can't help myself.
You should never say the utter the word passage.
Okay, I'm going to send you a list of words not to say. Passage.
No.
That's
rear end.
Rear
bottom.
End, yeah.
Anything. So anyway, passage to find and try and find the Northwest Passage through to China for trade reasons. So it's a trading economic-y thing. So they sent out two ships, and they were like state-of-the-art naval ships at the time. This is about 1845, I think. And they got stuck in the ice, and I don't want to say anything else. I almost spoilt it. If you don't know the true story, don't anybody look it up. Just watch the show.
I have to say that you make it sound incredibly boring.
Really? Oh my god! It's the complete opposite.
It's about trading.
No.
Trading with China. They go through the
ice. Absolute opposite. I've taken you so far. They go up there, 127 men, to find this is earth shattering. If they can get a trading.
So what year is this?
1845. You're not listening, are you? This is what happens when you're cranky. You don't listen to dates. So
I do listen. I just wasn't hearing.
Okay. I feel like I'm your teacher. I'm going back to imagining what your teacher was like at school. Mark, you're listening, but you're not hearing.
I don't think
you?
The teachers even knew my name. Just sat in the back quietly, doing nothing, saying nothing. You there, the grey hair.
That's a bit sad, isn't it? You didn't even feature on their intellectual landscape. Anyway, so it's far more exciting because if they, you know, it was a very epic voyage to try and find this way through, and it would have been a massive thing to find the Northwest Passage, which obviously they found since. But what happened to these men? What I'm going to say is not good things happened to these men without spoiling it.
Yeah.
And it's such an amazing character study, incredibly well written, amazing atmosphere created. And it's also, and without spoiling it, the film is called The Horror because one of the actual ships was called The Horror. However,
so it's called The Terror.
So that's a good point. There's three ships went out: The Horror, The Terror, and The Erebus. And The Horror sank just outside Portsmouth. So we don't. But that's what I got confused with. So the other two, the Terror. Yes, it's called the Terror.
So the ship's called the Terror.
Yes, it's called the Terror. And what happened to them is incredibly related to the name of the boat. Right. Absolutely brilliant.
Okay, say no more.
Brilliant. If you and you will gobble them up. You will gobble those episodes up.
Gobble, that's another name word for the list.
So, yes.
Is that a BBC thing?
BBC thing. On BBC iPlayer at the moment. But it came out AMC. If you're listening in the States, you'll be able to watch this on probably Prime. Doubt Netflix have got it. 2018. Yeah. Why I didn't win any Emmys or Globes, I don't know, because it's absolutely brilliant. There we go. But that's related to, I don't know what that was related to. It's related to something we said earlier about your crankiness. Oh, yes, you fell out the wrong side of the bed, a bit cranky. Cold. It's because you're cold. Your room is cold.
Oh, that was it.
Yeah, so why is your room cold so much today?
I don't know. I think it's just the heating's on. It's just it's just not really warming up the room for some reason. I think it's just been really, really windy, so there's been a lot of cold wind.
It gets kind of, yes, windy here, you know, too.
Gets inside, especially if you have the window open like I did.
Why?
Because I thought that I was sleeping better with the window open because it was just getting so hot in here at night.
Yeah.
I would wake up sweating.
Yeah.
So then I opened the window to let some cold air in. Yeah. And for a while, actually, I was definitely... I think I am sleeping better.
Mm.
But last night, for some reason, I just kept waking up.
Mm.
And just from kind of weird nightmares that kind of put me in a bit of a grumpy mood this morning. Oh, and I also got up quite early to get ready for the podcast and then realized that because we put our clocks forward at the weekend 1 hour.
Oh, do you?
And you didn't.
No, we didn't.
So then I realized, oh, shit, I got up early for no reason
to get ready. No, that's awful.
And now, so, yeah, that was a bit annoying.
Oh, I didn't know.
Yeah, it's good, yeah. Yeah. March 14th was the day.
I didn't know you did that. The Americans do that.
Yeah.
Anyway, this is
2 weeks earlier here and 2 weeks later when we put them back.
Right.
It's good.
Fascinating. Not really.
It is fascinating.
Actually, we ought to either have a tune or I should tell you my news from very quickly. Quick bit of news.
Go on, quick bit of news, okay. And then we'll have another tune.
Okay, so, 4 hours ago, I had a vaccination against COVID.
Dun, dun, dun. Wow. And so far, you're not feeling any adverse effects?
Well, the funny thing is...
Because I've got to say, everybody I know who's had it has been either mildly ill for a day or... pretty ill for a day.
So far so good. But apart from I popped before we came on the show, I popped next door to the bathroom to prepare myself for the show, obviously. And I looked in the
obviously
I looked in the mirror and my eye, you probably see now, I've got lizard eyes. My eyes have turned into lizard eyes, which is a bit, never happened before. I never had eyes that look like lizard, and
I thought something looked a bit different. I couldn't quite work it out, but I haven't got my glasses on, so.
And also that thing with lizard eyes, how have you not, if you look carefully, the thing, just the way it blinks, lizard eyes blink. That's what's happening to my eyes.
You do have a little bit of a kind of green tinge to your skin.
Well, there you
as
go.
Well.
Green eyes. Green, sorry, lizard eyes, green tinge. Look at my tongue. Look, just look now.
Well, fucking hell.
I know. Forked.
It came out a long way.
It did come out a very long way and forked. But I've been actually, I think that's an advantage. I've actually been picking up pencils and things and rearranging my stationery by just using my forked tongue.
Brilliant.
Which is quite good. So it's not all bad. So
but other than that,
I feel fine. Yes, I feel fine.
It's all as, well, yeah, that's not too much to worry about. As long as it doesn't progress any further than that, you know, if you start, there's no needing to eat flies or something.
Yeah. I tell you what, save if it does.
Be cheaper.
Be cheaper to live, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
If you just ate flies. No, I'll keep informed. If I turn, well, mind you, if I had the completely turn into some reptilian alien creature, then I won't contact you because I'll probably just want to. I won't know who you are anymore, and I probably want to kill you if I met you, won't I? Destroy, so suck your brain out or something like that. That's what you want.
Luckily, you've got a long way to come for that.
I probably got spaceships going to pick me up as well. We've all been transformed into reptilian aliens, and then it's probably a spaceship.
So I'd be the first person you'd want to eat, even though you've got like a, kind of a veritable smorgasbord of
on my
people
doorstep
around you that you could.
I don't know.
You could just.
I don't
eat.
Know
you
what
get in a spaceship, fly over here and eat me.
I don't know what I will be like because my
don't
brain
know whether
will,
to be flattered or insulted.
My brain would transform. So I might not. Who knows? But don't take it personally if I do. Is it time for a tune?
Yes. And up next, it's... I don't know why I keep going into like smashing.
I like it. Mode. Just do it. I like smashing.
Up next, it's Nina Simone. After that Feeling Good cover with a song that she wrote called Marriage is for Old Folks.
Very good. That was nice. I do love... I mean, she's amazing, isn't she? Obviously, she's not with us anymore because she was such a songstress, amazing voice. Some of my favourite Nina Simones is just literally piano, double bass and light drums. light drums. And it's just such a full and amazing sound.
Yeah. There was a really good documentary on, I think it was on Netflix. Mm. If you haven't seen it, you should watch it because she had a very interesting...
I'm guessing she had a tough
very
life.
Troubled. Troubled life, and she was pretty, not a good mother to her daughter for a while. Mm. But yeah, it's very interesting.
Okay, check that.
I recommend it.
Check it out. It's time for one of our features because people obviously are hooked on our features if they don't have an injection, as it were. See what I'm doing? Do you see what I'm doing there? Of one of our features, they'll turn off. So, should we go for what's up to you? Do you want rant or hero of RSP? Which one should we do next?
Let's start with the rant.
Okay, so here's the rant. Rant with rant, 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 rant with Rant Stops Play. So this week the rant. I'm going to be quite bold here, Mark, because I might piss off.
It's not about me, is it?
No, it's not about you. God, it's not all about you, Mark.
Well, just so I'm going to be bold here and tell you I think you're a cunt. So I'm going to get that word every week. Oh, me.
No, I might be antagonizing quite a powerful organization. But they have been really pissing me off. I mean, they have particularly been pissing me off recently. And that's the Chinese Communist Party. They really...
I was expecting you to say something like Vodafone. It's a powerful organisation. Oh, the Chinese Communist Party.
Chinese Communist Party.
Okay.
What are they like? Is that I want to ask that question. What are they like? Where do they get off? So, you know, that recent thing recently where... It only happened a couple of days ago. Was it yesterday? Where basically they've said that future elections for the Legislative Council in Hong Kong, people can only stand if they are patriotic supporters of the Chinese Communist Party. I mean, do you reckon when they say that, they kind of, when they're saying it, they know they're being, it's just wank what they're saying. Are they snickering? Are they laughing? They're going, the only people who can stand will be people who support the Chinese Communist Party. But it is a democracy still. Don't worry. Still democracy.
Yeah, they're probably laughing like that. The evil laughter rather than...
Yes.
You know.
Oh, that was quite evil, wasn't it? So, yes, they're doing that. So you can only... They want more patriotic people in the... it's just so stupid. And they had this vote in their stupid CCP party thing. I think they're 2,800. This is quite funny in a sense because they're 2,800 and something people voted in favour of this legislation. Apart from, and I said to Katie, I said, wouldn't it be funny if there was one person who voted against? And there wasn't. What didn't vote? There was one abstention. Now that person who's abstained, we all know what's happened to them now, don't we?
Right.
Yeah. Really. One abstention, and the rest of the party going, no, you don't, you say yes, you don't, no, you don't abstain. But ridiculous, absolutely, that's ridiculous, obviously. You have a vote, and everybody votes that way. Well, we know that, and then the Hong Kong thing, and then on a more serious note, well, it's all serious.
Hang on a second, more serious, what? It can be more serious than that.
On a more serious, no, but a more, on a kind of, so the old Uyghurs as well, that's pretty ghastly what's been happening to them. The Uyghurs in, I can't remember what part.
Oh, that's how you pronounce it, right?
But yeah, it's a tricky one. It's O-U-R-O-U, anyway, Uyghurs. So they're basically suffering genocide, in effect, within China. So, and they had some Chinese apologist fellow on the radio the other day, and been asked some questions by one of our inquisitors along the lines of, so we saw this video footage that had been super duper verified as genuine, with all these men being taken onto, you know, trains to be taken off to these camps. And obviously, you know, has the kind of Holocaust type connotation to it. And the and the Chinese guy was just going, yeah, but it was fake. It's fake. It wasn't real video. And they said, no, it's been absolutely verified. This is verified. No, it's made up. It wasn't real. And you're thinking, oh, do you believe that as a person? You know that's real, but you have to do the party line. So just the whole Chinese Communist Party, fuck off, because you're not, I've got nothing, Chinese people, I've met quite a few in my time teaching, and they're lovely, genuinely, I really like them, very, extremely polite and nice people, but the Chinese Communist Party, just fuck off, because we don't need you, we don't want you.
I think I might have told you this before, but when I was in China, 2 years ago, we went on a tour of the, what's it called? The Hidden City? The Secret City? I've forgotten what it's called. Mm. Anyway, it's like the former royal palace. It's really amazing.
Yeah.
And we had a nice young female guiding us around. And I made the mistake of saying, because it was like the anniversary the next day of the Tiananmen Square uprising. And I made the mistake of saying, like, so what do you think about the, what happened in Tiananmen Square? And she just went kind of pale and said, we're not allowed to talk about it. And then she walked off and left me. And I was like, I felt really terrible. Because I thought, you know, just like between us, with me being a Westerner and being just a private thing, she might say something interesting. But she obviously was kind of terrified of even saying anything to me. So, it was a bit awkward, to say the least.
No, it's very telling. And what's obviously interesting is how we're dealing with it. So I think the Americans, the Canadians, I think maybe the Australians and the Europeans are all talking in terms of, like, with the Uyghurs, in terms of this is genocide. But we haven't quite said that in this country, because we're still hedging our bets in terms of... Ooh. And actually, this is going to tie in with Hookie's question later on today on The Hook, because we're sort of going, economic, yeah, but we've just come out of done Brexit. We need to kind of, we need to keep sort of sweet because of our economic situation and everything. So,
Just overlook the crimes against humanity.
Yes.
If we can get some
cheap
goods coming in.
And we've got form in this way as well, because of the old opium wars as well back in the 19th century, which we don't have time to talk about, but that was, again, all about, economic things being above human sanctity of life things. Anyway, there we go, a bit heavy. That's my rant today. Chinese Communist Party, just fuck off. Silly. Chinese people, come on, just get rid of them. Come on, get rid of them. There's plenty of you, and there's not that many. I don't know how many people are... I suppose they do have quite a few party members, don't they? But there's still 1.1 billion Chinese people.
I've never seen so many security cameras in my life as I have when I was in China.
Yeah.
I mean, they were just everywhere, pointing up at buildings, down at the ground, out into God knows where. There were signs at backstage, even at the venue that we played at, that, you know, without saying explicitly, it's just basically said, just so you know, there are no blind spots anywhere.
Extraordinary.
That was the wording, you know, basically like you're being watched all the time.
Yeah. 1984, it obviously exit. Well, George Orwell wrote about it, and there it is. There we go. Time for a song. Have you got a song that ties in there with the Chinese Communist Party? It'd be quite cool if you have.
I'll make it tie in somehow. You can get opium in many forms, and I think, have you ever had an opium cake?
I haven't, no.
Anyway, you should try one. It's very, very tasty. And speaking of cake, here is your choice of the band Cake with I Will Survive.
Well, that's very good. Now, and I Will Survive as well. I mean, that's very relevant, isn't it?
It does tie in, I suppose, doesn't it? I Will Survive the Communist Party.
I Will Survive the Communist Party. And also I Will Survive, hopefully a bit longer because I've had a jab. So that hopefully, I don't know. So there we go. That's lovely.
There goes a hero. A hero of Wales stops playing. There goes a hero. A hero of Wales stops playing. Hero.
So this week, my hero of Rain Stops Play is the sun.
Not the newspaper, I hope.
No. Okay. No, that would be awful.
Phew.
Awful if I said
the
that.
Actual sun.
The sun itself, the big glowing, warm, lovely object in the sky. The reason being is that last week we had some sun, and I know you've had some sun as well. And there was a whole day, and I was feeling a bit meh, end of winter, meh. And then I had a whole day in the hammock outside with the old blankets in the sun. And I came out and at the end of the day, I felt so happy. It was just this natural drug, natural high. And I thought, wow, isn't that amazing when you get a bit of sun and how everything changes in your head?
Yeah, we had 3 days last week that were just amazing. It was so warm.
Wow.
Kind of.
Oh, yes, you put them up. You little shit, you put up 63 degrees, didn't you?
And that was the cold day. There was one day where it got up to 70 almost.
No.
It was like 69.
No.
Yeah, it was really just quite incredible. So
wow.
I walked down to the park and just sat there for a bit in the sun. And it's cold again now, but it's still sunny and bright.
Is it? Well, that's good. That's very good.
Yeah, definitely felt like spring was very close.
What a hero. And it makes sense that the sun, you know, the sun gods were the earliest gods. Of course it does.
It does, doesn't it? Yeah.
Because it's the thing that gives you life, dude. So, yeah, what a hero. A hero of
congratulations. RSP.
Yeah, congratulations goes out to the big orb in the sky. I think we've got time for something else, have we, before another tune?
Yes.
Or do you want to go on then? What have you
what
got
should
for
we do?
Today? Why don't we
do a question? Let's do a question.
Okay. Yeah. Let's do a question.
And this is a it's a Hester tester.
Try to stop as you try to arrest us, but before you do, it's time for Hester's test.
I am currently binging a series called Dark. People go back to 1986 to change things, so the present will be better. If you could go back to 1986, what would you do to better your life here and now?
Well, you start answering it, because I've been talking a lot.
You have, haven't you?
Yeah.
That show, yeah, Dark. I've seen that come up in the Netflix and thought, that looks interesting, but now I know what it's about. I might actually watch it. It's a tricky one, isn't it? Because the thing is, you know, going back in time with the intention of changing things for the better, how do you know that what you're doing isn't going to make things worse? Because it's like that whole butterfly effect thing, isn't it?
That's right.
You know, you might do one little thing that you think, oh, that'll, I don't know, like stop someone being born.
Yeah.
Like Donald Trump. Well, actually, he was already born then anyway, but you know, let's say hypothetically.
Yeah.
How do you know that doing that isn't going to create an even worse situation? There's I can't remember what it's called. There's a Stephen Fry novel.
Book. Yes.
Yeah, where the premise is someone goes back in time and stops Hitler being born.
Yeah.
And then as a result of that, an even worse dictator.
Yeah,
comes up.
Yeah,
so it's interesting. I don't know what you could do that would guarantee a better future. Mm. One thing I would do personally is tell myself 1986 to get rid of that mullet.
Yes,
because it was not a good look.
And yet, I really, 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 really want to see a picture of it now. Is that bad? Now you've said you in a mullet. I don't think I've seen your picture of you in a mullet. I've never seen it.
I've got a few.
Have you seen any of my mullet ones? Have you seen any of my mullet ones?
You had a mullet too.
I've got a picture up here.
I saw a picture of you in, with your...
With long hair.
With your band, which also has Steve in.
Yeah, that's right. You with long hair. That's a bit mullety, hair. Isn't it? Yeah, it's just up there on the wall there now.
Yeah, right.
A bit mullety. Yes, that's true. So you could probably change that and that wouldn't affect too much of the future planet and everything. I think... In all seriousness, I think... Oh, would it? Yes, would it? Yes, Mark's hair change did. Would have this butterfly effect and it would ended up eventually in nuclear winter, and the last remaining survivors would be sat around cursing you, going, "For fuck's
that's
sake.
Like something from a Douglas Adams.
It is
all traced back to Mark Rosa, age 15 in 1986, decided to cut off his mullet,
and then he gives a series of events ended up with nuclear winter. Thanks, Mark. Yeah. And then people produce very sarcastic "Thanks, Mark" T-shirts and sell them around the fires of the burning fires of the remnants of the society. Yes, I think the one thing I would like to try and help would be, I suppose, you know that they're working on fission reactors at the moment. Did you know that, Mark? Did you know that? Oxford Connection. So fission, as opposed to nuclear fusion, fission, basically, is hopefully going to be the thing which means we will be able to use fission power as opposed to nasty coal power and other oil powers and gas power. Because and there's a place just outside Oxford, a lab, where they've been since the 80s. There you go. Since the mid-80s, they've been developing the technology of fission power, and there were some extraordinary facts and I've forgotten them all, but it's something extraordinary that they've developed, and now lots of countries come together and they've built this much bigger thing in France to really test this thing out. So they've done it a very small scale, and that's and billions and billions of pounds been spent on it, or the equivalent, and if this works, then they'll be able to produce this endless clean power, which is what we want. We want this endless clean, just through nuclear fission, not to confuse with nuclear fusion, of course. So that is, if I could somehow help with that back in 1986. But of course, back in 1986, I would have, I mean, I could barely, you know, I could barely do my tie up. Or not trip over my own laces. I was so fucking stumbling stupid.
Yeah, you didn't know much about nuclear fission back then.
I didn't know that much.
Unlike now, where you know you're a leading expert.
Yes, yeah, I could help now. Well, if I could go back in time, with the knowledge I have now, and I get actually, I could go back then and say,
"There's this lab outside Oxford. I don't remember anything about it, but." It's good.
It's good.
You should do that.
I'd go back there and I'd encourage scientists. I find some scientists with white lab coats and Bunsen burners and say, stop what you're doing. Stop it and just focus on fission. Just focus on fission. It's the future, man. It's what we need because the planet's going to
be. And then they look at you and they go, and you are?
You are.
Like, I work at the Duke of Cambridge pub.
No, I was younger than that. I was younger than that before I came to Oxford. Well, mid-80s, yeah. I would have been... I'd have been at college, I think,
right.
Or kind of, yeah, I'd have been, pre-college, sixth form. Yeah, and I shit at science, so yes, they wouldn't listen to me. So there we go. Anyway, just finally, the series is fantastic, Mark. You should watch it. I watched the first two seasons, got into season three, and then because I had two bit of a gap between seasons two and season three, I've forgotten a lot of the people, and I got super confused because it is confusing.
What are we talking about? I'm confused.
Dark, the TV series. It's very good.
Oh, Dark, right. God.
Very good.
I forgot about that.
Very, very good. But, Mike, you should sit there with a pad and paper to try and remember all the different connections.
I don't think I could do that. I couldn't even follow you, what you were saying just then. I didn't know what you were talking about. Series, that was just 2 minutes ago.
Don't bother with Dark, then. So, don't bother with Dark.
Yeah, I haven't watched anything new for quite a while. I just don't seem to have the capacity of following any sort of complicated storyline.
No, don't watch Dart then. You've got to focus. But it is really good. And it's fantastic not seeing any actors that you recognise because it's a German production.
Ooh, Germany.
German. Very good. What do you mean? Are you going to say something a little bit naughty then about Germans? Were you?
I was going to make a joke.
Were you?
No, I've just remembered, I was talking to my mum at the weekend. Remember, like last year, I was reading out sentences from that Hugo's French book from about 100 years ago.
Oh, yes, that was funny.
That was very sort of entitled. There was one that I completely missed that my mum told
me. You got
me.
It there?
No, I haven't got it, but she said the sentence was, "Don't speak to them, they are German."
Wow.
I don't know how I managed to miss that one. But, you know, this was written in like 1920 or something like that. Yeah. So
don't speak to them there. Gosh. So was it in French or was it in German? It was a German.
No, it was in French, English to French.
English to French, yeah. Don't speak to them. Phrase book. Don't speak to them, German. They knew something that other people didn't know in 1926, didn't they? Mm, it was quite prescient what they were saying. Don't speak to them. Because they're going to come back and fuck us up.
Time good. For a tune, I think.
Tis, go and do it.
Before we get on to the next thing.
Come.
And let's have Sinead O'Connor. Nothing Compares to You.
Oh, that's great. That takes me back. Originally a Prince song, of course. Of course.
Well, Prince, he wrote that. I don't think he ever actually recorded it. But he wrote it for her.
He did. No, he wrote it. There's a version of it. Prince, yeah.
Really?
I think bollocks. Oh, right. He definitely wrote it. I thought there was one he did. Anyway, we'll find that out. Yeah, somebody can contact us and put us right. Probably your mother. Do you remember the video for it?
Yeah. Just her face.
Just her face. Yeah. Really good, really good.
Just the best of you live at Paisley Park.
Are you looking this up?
Yeah.
See whether Prince had. There is a song, isn't there? I'm sure there is. The original. I put money on there is a song. Is there one that he wrote and played?
Well, it's like yes, but it was only released
after her song.
A couple of years ago. Never before released track from Prince, the original recording of Nothing Compares to You.
Okay, so I've gone back in time to 19 something, and I listened to this, and I've come back to this time because how on earth did I know that song was going to come out 2 years ago? But I've known for years that he actually the song existed.
What?
Whoa! Well. Mind you, the other day when I was out on a walk, I did slip through this little vortex in a tree. You know, there's knots on trees. Big knots. There's a really big knot on it. And I put my hand in and my hand disappeared completely. And I thought, oh, that's probably that's probably some sort of Stargate thing, a time vortex thing. And I managed to get all my body through it. And I went back to, and I did some stuff like that. I hung out with Prince and everything. That's probably why I know.
Wow.
I don't think I did any good, though. I could have done some good for the world while I was there. But I don't think I did. I think I was just dicked around and then came back. I should have done something that would have affected people's lives now. I feel a bit bad.
Well, you don't know, do you? It might have affected the lives, but we wouldn't know.
Oh, yes.
Because we could be living already in an alternative Bruce Windward.
Oh, with that idea.
Induced timeline that we just don't know about.
Gosh. Well, hey, everyone. I feel pretty cool now.
Yeah.
Good. Let's. Is it time for,
Yeah, get the glasses out.
Glasses out. Here we go.
Can I just ask beforehand?
Yes.
Is this gonna have any horrible stuff that's gonna make
me
really
I tell you what the answer is, Mark, it's down to you. Because I'm gonna give you
because I have to take responsibility for last week.
That's just the way it falls, okay? It's all in the good book. This is just don't be scared of the Bible. This is
the ironic,
good book.
Isn't it, calling it the good book, really?
It's full of good, it's all here to instruct and help us in life. So don't be scared about what I'm gonna choose. Now I'm gonna give you a choice of three.
Yeah,
We might do a couple of them quite small, so we might do a couple today. I don't know yet. So the first one is you are familiar with Moses and his magic wand. That is one of them. That's still an ongoing one that we'll come back to. So then we have a twist in the nethers. A twist in the nethers.
A twist in the nethers.
Okay, that's number two. Number three is slap heads of the world unite. So, which one would you like?
I'm very tempted by the last two. a lot more than Moses and his magic wand.
Okay. Which one do you want?
Let's go for Slap Heads of the World Unite, please, Bob.
Right, you have chosen Slap Heads of the World Unite. Boom. So what I've got here is I've got two kings, if you're following this at home with your Bibles. This is 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 23. Now, this is Elisha, not to be confused with Elijah. So you had Elijah, who, as you know, is one of the big prophety people.
Oh, yeah, I know that.
And Elisha was pretty much his protege, I think. So when Elijah died, Elisha carried on the good prophecy work. Right. So here we go. From there, Elisha went up to Bethel. That's not a girl. That's a place called Bethel, right? As he was walking along the road, some youths came out of the town and jeered at him. Okay, this is them jeering. "Go on up, you bald head," they said. "Go on up, you bald head." He turned round, looked at them, and called down a curse on them in the name of the Lord. Right. Then 2 bears came out of the woods and mauled 42 of the youths.
42?
And he went, 42, yes. And he went on to Mount Carmel, and from there returned to Samaria. So, commentary for you, please, on that passage.
I wonder how many youths there were. That 42 were mauled. That's a lot of youths to
That's quite a lot, yeah.
Yeah, bald head. Oi, baldy. Go on up the mountain, you bald bastard. That's just really funny.
Yeah.
Again, quite an extreme response to being called baldy. Bring down a curse on these youths.
Yes.
That 42 of them were mauled. Were they mauled to death?
Yes, I think that's the implication, yes. They're dead.
Yeah. God, dear me.
Yeah. They weren't just lightly cuffed by the soft backhand of a bear. That wasn't lightly struck on their chin. And went, "Oh, I've learnt my lesson. Thank you, Mr. Bear." And the bears went back. And no, they were mauled to death. They were fucked out. They were fucked up, man.
Good grief. That's very extreme.
So what do we learn from this? Because I think we've got to try and learn some a bit more stuff, because these passages are in here for... It's an instructional book. So what do we learn from that, Mark?
It's just proof.
What's the God trying to tell us?
God's cuntiness. That's what it is, as far as I'm concerned. I can't help it. I'm sorry. But what do you expect?
Maybe, look, you know, he was bald. Imagine being bald and someone saying, "Oi, slaphead. Oh, look at you, slaphead." It's not a nice thing to say, is it? So
no. Okay.
If you were one of God's elite prophets, and you had the power to call on God, you might be tempted to,
a
bit of damage, wouldn't you?
Maybe like, say, make their trousers fall down. That'll teach them.
Yes. Yes, you know. Yes, yes, yes. Yes, and then they graze themselves on their arms a bit, so there might be a little minor injury, yeah. But it'd be enough for them to go, "Oh God, don't mess with him. Don't mess with him, or don't, because he represents God and everything." Yes, I suppose the mauling of the bears is quite. That's there. Yeah, that is
full
quite,
on.
It's very full on, isn't it? Killed lots of young people.
Not even just maul one of them as an example. Like this is what you'd get if you fuck with me.
Yes.
Maul to death. Don't do it again.
Yeah.
42 of them.
42. Yes. Okay. So our conclusion there is that once again, unfortunately, I think he's trying to make a point, but he just goes. It's like he just can't control his emotions, isn't it? God just can't control his wrath. It's like you being cranky, but on a millionth scale of your crankiness today. It's like if you're that cranky all the time. It's like, I know I shouldn't just smite people and kill them, but
it's like a petulant teenager. This reminds me of that episode of Star Trek, the original series, season 1, called Charlie X, when this young man comes aboard the Enterprise, and they discover that he's got some kind of superpower that he can make people do whatever he wants just by kind of going at them, and if he gets annoyed with them,
yes,
he kind of gives them a look, and then suddenly like he makes one woman age about 40 years,
yeah,
and it's just like that, isn't it? he's like, I can't control. And then Spock has to come along and try to help him.
So it's the idea
emotions.
That God is actually a young, just a young buck.
We've always thought of him as like, yeah.
Yeah, an old person.
Some old
actually,
dude
yes.
with a beard, like, hey.
Yes.
But what if he's just
the opposite.
An immature young God yeah. that hasn't yet learned to control his power?
Oh, Mikeans, I think we've stumbled on something there. I think you. I think we've stopped. Well, I think we should do seminars and everything now on this.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is brilliant. God, not old, but a young, testosterone-filled youth. So do you want a twist in the nethers? Because you probably won't be able
go
to
go for
sleep.
A twist in the nethers, yeah.
Yeah, right then. I'll do that. So Bible Study Part 2, A Twist in the Nethers is the title for this one. It's very short. It's very short. Okay. It's from Deuteronomy. That's a kind of random bit of advice, I think, really. It doesn't seem to have anything prequel or lead on to anything. It says this. If two men are fighting and the wife of one of them comes to rescue her husband from his assailant and she reaches out and seizes him by his private parts, yeah, you shall cut off her hand. Show her no pity. That's from Deuteronomy. I said the next bit just goes on. Do not have two differing weights in your bag, one heavy, one light.
That's brilliant.
context.
What if you've gone shopping and you bought a potato and then, like, I don't know, a watermelon?
I think they mean
you gotta have them in two different
measure
bags.
Things. I think they mean to measure things. I think so. Yeah, but anyway, let's just not skip ahead to the to different weights in your bag.
Okay.
So you've got the two men fighting and the yeah. woman goes in there to save her, help. Obviously, I presume her husband's not doing very well. So she wants to get involved, doesn't want him hurt. And she goes for the obvious place in a man, which would be his genitals, and gives him a little twist. And you think that would actually be quite a good thing to do because it would stop one of them fighting. And maybe she'd say to her husband, okay, let's just break it up. Break it up, otherwise I'll twist your gonads.
Sorry, that's just very silly. It's very. This is a very silly book, isn't it?
So, do you think a hand should be cut off for that? I just wanted to ask you. Do you think?
Well, obviously again? Not. Obviously not. How's she going to reach them anyway? Are they fighting naked? These two men.
Doesn't say.
Mm.
Doesn't say.
Well, I guess the moral there is, you know, don't get married. That way you can't have a wife who comes along and twists your friend's balls and gets her hand cut off.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. That's one way of dealing with it.
Yeah.
That's one way of avoiding it. Don't get married. Yes, avoid marriage because you only end up with ball twisting and
a handless wife.
Yes, handless wife. Good. Excellent. Thank you. I thought we should have... Should we have a tune and then what tune have we got?
Well, segueing nicely from the from God there, this is the Osmonds with Crazy Horses.
Come on, that's a cracking tune, isn't it?
That was your pick, Bruce, I have to say. I'm not holding any responsibility.
That's a cracking tune. No, that is a good. Really cracking tune. Yeah. Oh, that's brilliant.
On the Hook with Simon Hook. His questions we do slay. Unrinsed up slave.
Friendly waves to you both. A weighty challenge this week, and it is weighty, are capitalism and saving ourselves from the climate emergency fundamentally at odds with one another? I feel that you're quite well placed to answer that question, given your...
What? Why?
Because you have quite a strong opinion on those two subjects.
Oh right, yeah. Oh yeah. So capitalism. What's the other? So what? My mind drifted off a bit then. So it's capitalism. What was the other one?
I was trying to read
yes.
Capitalism and saving ourselves from the climate emergency fundamentally at odds with one another, Bruce.
Thank you. Also, what happened there, I got a bit distracted because the sun has actually just come out and I was going, sun. Yes, are they fundamentally? I think they probably, I think they probably are. Yes. Yes, no, they definitely are. I think it's. I don't know.
That's the answer to that then. Good.
No, no, I think. But see, I'm not an economist, so I'm speaking from the position of pig ignorance, like the fission reactor, really. But it doesn't seem to have worked out very well. I think it's a bit. If I'd be a bit Jesus-y about this, by your fruit ye shall know him, or by your fruit, and the fruit of capitalism. Isn't particularly fantastic, really. I mean, some good stuff's come out of it, a few roads and bridges and stuff, but fucking up the planet along the way is a bit of a price to pay for that. So it's whether you think that humans are able to just do something about their greed. Really, because it just seems to be greed, doesn't it? And it is very much built into our culture, isn't it? Every time they bang on about, you know, growth, that the economy, they're talking about it now, it's basically, you know, we're looking forward and, you know, in the next quarter or whatever, are we going to have, how much growth are we going to have? And you sort of think, well, growth at what cost? They should say, actually, well, we could have some growth, but growth at what cost? So
well, that's it.
Do we want that growth or on that basis? No, we don't. But
this is the fundamental flaw, or one of them, in capitalism is it's based on, you know, continual growth and expansion and acquisition,
yeah,
of assets.
Yeah.
So there's a certain amount of that can happen without it doing any damage, probably. But then there is a point that comes where it just becomes a toxic system. And I mean, we're already way past that point. So there should be, there has to be some sort of limitations set, I think, on any kind of economic growth and but that is that something like you say, is that something we can actually do? Can we stop people's greed from becoming so rampant that they just destroy everything?
I mean, the funny thing is if you and I, not funny thing, but actually quite a sobering thing, is if you and I live, you know, if we can snatch another 40 years or something, we'd be pretty old. But if we can, I know it's an exhausting thought, but if we can, what's going to happen in the next 30, 40 years? We'll look back at this time when we're going, sorry, just to kick the shit out of the Chinese Communist Party again, because it's that program really today, isn't it? About 24% of emissions comes from China, so they're the biggest spewer outer of filth. That's only ours is 1%, and then America's 15%, so there we go. So what China does now is really important to the future of humanity, and like what we all do. So in 34 years, we might still be around to see if we've made that right decision or not. And that would be one of the biggest things that humanity's ever faced. It would be the big thing. So we'll find out what humans are really made of, really, whether we can go. I do have a lot of hope in the next generation. So young people, when it comes to the climate, when it comes to I think they've got a firm grasp on the fact that you can't have all the shiny shit, and not that you want to have all the shiny shit either, at the expense of the planet. So I think there is a good chance we can do something pretty grand now, and I hope so.
I hope so too. I don't know if I'm as optimistic as you about that, because I do think that fundamentally our entire system is just totally flawed, and I'm not sure that we can really move forwards in any positive way without there being a complete collapse of what we've got at the moment first. So I think there is potential for the planet being saved, but I think it will have to be a really massive, there's going to have to be a massive change in society in the way we think. Because, I mean, you say that about, you know, the youth of today, the next generation, but at the same time, that generation is totally, is probably more consumer oriented than we are. Because everybody, if you think, look at the difference between now and 20 years ago, say. So 20 years ago, we were just sort of getting into having personal computers. Mm-hmm. Thanks to Apple, everybody was getting iMacs and mm-hmm. what have you. And, you know, mobile phones were just sort of starting to become a thing.
Yeah.
And then we're now at the point where everybody, virtually everybody has a mobile phone. Everybody has a smartphone that they probably replace every 3 or 4 years. And they have a laptop and they have a desktop computer. And you know, it's like in my apartment alone, I've got one working phone, one non-working phone, one that is for the UK somewhere in a drawer, my desktop PC, my laptop that I use occasionally when I'm traveling. And that's just me, for someone who actually thinks of themselves as being fairly non-consumer.
Yes, but at the same time, aren't there lots of things that you kind of don't do? Or that
well, I mean, yeah, I don't drive, I don't have a car, don't...
And cars are a huge
meat.
A car is the major, it's a massive one. It's the production of the car as well as the running of it.
There are a lot of people out there who are buying new phones. They get, you know, they have a phone for a year, they replace it with a new one.
Well, it's that mentality. Yes, it's that mentality that needs to, it's that culture that needs to be zapped in the nuts.
But the only way that will be zapped is if we stop producing all this shit and stop making people think that they need to own it all. And I don't know if they do. I mean, I think about, you know, my daughter's 11 years old and she is just totally hooked in on, she has a phone. I was mm-hmm. not really keen on her having one, but, you know, it's pretty difficult to fight against other people who think it's a good idea. Mm-hmm. And I know that she is very much aware of environmental issues, but I don't know that she necessarily can tie in the bigger picture with her own personal impact.
But it's like, I mean, you don't eat meat, do you? So it depends.
No.
And I think there's a new generation coming through of people who don't eat meat. They tend to be younger, and the meat production is one of the great producers of methane, which is one of the great producers of climate change. So one of the things that, so that might to the matter of the phones. But if you've got lots of people who aren't eating meat and therefore you don't need all the cattle and everything, and then all that methane going into the atmosphere, then that could have far greater effect than the costs of production of phones.
Yeah.
Couldn't it?
I just think we do need to change fundamentally and go. I mean, this is where I think we should go back to the ways that of production that, you know, from 50, 60, 70 years ago, where things were built
to last
a lifetime.
Yes, no, we should.
You know, I mean, I don't sound like an old fart saying that, but you know, I've got this radio that I picked up at a flea market that was made in the 1950s.
Yeah,
it still works. You wouldn't find that. You won't be able to go to like a flea market in 50 years' time and find an electronic device from now that still works, because the technology is constantly being updated. So everything is just obsolete within a short period of time. I mean, and they do that. It's intentional.
Oh, yeah.
That things are changing. So like your phone from like, you know, 4 or 5 years ago, it might still work, but there's a lot of things that on it you can't do or that you won't be able to do because the new apps and everything won't work with the old.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's that whole mentality.
That needs to change.
Yeah.
It's like, but that's only like that because people have thought, well, if we make these things only last a few years, then we can sell another one after that and then another one, and we've got them hooked in. And
no, absolutely. And that's all tied in with
income.
Yeah, completely right. And that's the whole thing about, you know, the billions and billions and billions it's spent on advertising. And trying and creating an appetite for something. No, that's true. That whole cult, that whole thing has to change and alter quickly. But there are signs, there are quite big signs. This is the thing about the people have time to stop and think because of COVID about sort of what is most important.
So but has that really, I mean, it has, of course, that has made people like you and I definitely think more about the planet and, you know, our lives and what, and the impact and of what we do and how things can change quickly. But that's, we're already, I don't want to sound pompous or anything, but we're already people who think about those kind of things anyway. Do you think it really will have impacted society generally, or most people, I think, are just chomping at the bit to get back to what they were doing, regardless of.
I definitely think there's a there's a degree, and the interesting thing is that you hear on the news a lot in this country. I'm sure it's because you've had that stimulus package of $1.9 trillion in the States, but It's quite interesting because they just the stimulus and the is basically for some people that $1,400 will be the difference between them having food or not, but for other people it'll be like we're encouraging you to go and buy stuff, and they talk about in this country, you know, there's lots of people who've saved money because of the pandemic and they're sat on lots of cash. So the idea is you get the economy reopened and you encourage people to spend money and to buy more stuff. So it is very strange. It's kind of like buy stuff to save the economy, but actually buy stuff that that will kind of effectively fuck up the planet because we keep on producing stuff. I was reading a bit the other day about so there's very rare metals that are required in smartphones, and there's a particular part of, is it the Congo? There's a part of Africa where a lot of this particular metal comes from, and it's a very chaotic part of Africa. It might be the Congo. Anyway, and so they're looking for alternatives to get this. It might be barium or something. Let's call it barium to get this rare metal for phones. And they're now looking at the oceans, and they're thinking of basically these they've discovered that in some parts of the actual oceans there are these rare metals, so they're thinking of basically mining the oceans, and the idea of going down into these parts of the world where humans haven't been before to get these metals. But of course, at what cost? Because they'll go down there and humans being humans will fuck up those at the moment pristine areas of the planet to get these metals. So and it goes on. So, but it comes back to the fission reactor. Get a fission reactor sorted, boys. And
If you look at it, the bigger picture of this that people surely should think about is that there are the Earth is a limited resource for all these things. At some point, of course, it's not going to be in our lifetime, probably, or in our next generation's lifetime. But at some point, there won't be any more of that metal. There won't be any more of all these things that we're using. And surely we just need to stop and think about that for a minute. It's like, what's going to happen when none of that stuff is available anymore? Yeah. When all the gas has been used up, when all the, you know, coal has been burned and all the metal has been plundered. What's going to happen?
Fission reactor.
Yeah.
Or we're going to go back in time. We'll go back to 1986. Because we would have discovered a vortex in the knot of a tree. And you and I will go back.
To go back a bit further than that to really do any.
1906. 1806? The beginning of the Industrial Revolution. Let's get back there and let's fuck up some of the early inventors. Like, who invented the thingy Jenny?
The spinning Jenny.
The spinning Jenny. So we track him down. Cartwright, was it? Track him down.
I don't know.
And get him pissed and persuade him not to invent the spinning Jenny. I don't know. We'll try that maybe. Thank you very much for that, Simon. My goodness, that made us chat away, didn't it? Simon, good question, my friend.
That was a good question. Very good.
But I think we it's one to final tune, surely.
Yes. Well, let's see. I've got a few here that we could go with.
Must be one of yours.
I'll give you a choice. Would you like to hear your choice of Stevie Wonder, If You Really Love Me?
Yeah.
Or would you like to hear Billie Eilish, No Time to Die, from the upcoming Bond movie?
I think it's got to be. I love Stevie. We'll have come back to him. But should we go for Billie? Should we end the show with that? Probably.
Yeah.
It's time, isn't it? Right. Thank you very much for listening today. Despite Mark ostensibly being cranky, I don't think you sounded cranky at all, Mark.
I think I've got over it.
I think you made a really good effort. Well done, Mark. Yes. So let's end with a bit of Bond, Billy Bond.
See you next week.
Bye.